Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Seven past the hour. Welcome to the program. Hey, how about this? This is kind of interesting in a very strange way. You can ponder this and maybe comment on it. Osama bin Laden, of course, was assassinated in May by U.S. commandos on orders of the president. That would be Obama. And his corpse was taken away and buried at sea. That's the official story. There were photos taken and videos taken, and an autopsy report, one presumes, written, and DNA samples taken. Now, public disclosure of all this, according to the Obama administration in court documents, public disclosure of these official records would, quote, damage national security and lead to attacks on American property and personnel, end quote. So in Huffington Post article, in response Monday to a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed by Judicial Watch. That place was put together by Larry Klayman, who I can't stand him, but every once in a while, like a stop clock, he gets it right. Huh? He's one of the people who, I think Judicial Watch was put together during the attack on Bill Clinton, when Bill Clinton had a girlfriend and was still president. And I think it was the Judicial Watch that wanted to force Bill Clinton to drop his pants in a courtroom so they could check out the interesting markings, according to Paula Jones, that were on a section of Bill Clinton's body, which shall remain unmentioned on this program. Or maybe it was Judicial Watch who wanted to have a DNA test made of the the stain on Monica Lewinsky's dress. I don't know. But I never cared too much for Judicial Watch. Every once in a while, they'll do something, though, and they've done something now that I certainly agree with. They filed an FOIA lawsuit, and they want to see this stuff. In response to the lawsuit, Justice Department attorneys said that the CIA has located 52 photographs and video recordings. Located them. That makes it sound like they were misplaced, right? But they argued that the images of the dead bin Laden are now classified and being withheld from the public to avoid inciting violence against Americans overseas and compromising secret systems and techniques used by the CIA and the military. Well, that's asinine. We all know what happened. The American government, the Obama administration, made no secret about it. No secret at all. We had animation provided by CBS, NBC, ABC of the helicopter, the one that crashed, and another one, and everybody going in, and they were in Pakistan's territory, and this happened, and up the steps, and there was a dog, and bin Laden's wife tried to put herself in, and she got shot in the head or the arm or the foot, and bin Laden took a bullet in the head and a bullet in the heart, and yada, yada, yada. We know what happened. God damn it. Everybody knows what happened. What technique? We know where the choppers came from. We know where they went. We know the whole thing. And that's because at the time, the Obama administration, no secret, yeah, this is what we did. We got the son of a bitch, right? Okay. But now, all of a sudden, we're not supposed to be made aware of these documents, or at least see them or examine them. I mean, who wants to see a corpse? But on the other hand, Why not? It's a matter of public record. What the hell can happen? I mean, we've been fighting in Afghanistan for how many years? Nine? We've been invading Pakistan's territory. We invaded Afghanistan's territory. I mean, we've murdered scores of innocent people with our drone attacks. And all of a sudden, the Obama administration says, well, you know, we can't, you know, we don't want anybody to know what kind of systems and techniques are used by the CIA. The CIA? The Justice Department, the Obama Justice Department, run by Eric Holder, has asked the court to dismiss this lawsuit because the records that the Judicial Watch wants are, quote, wholly exempt from disclosure, end quote. That's according to the response by the U.S. Justice Department. They are exempt from disclosure. Tom Fitton, who is the president of Judicial Watch, of course, these right-wing groups never miss a chance, but, you know, maybe they're right here. They accuse the Obama administration of making, quote, a political decision, end quote, to keep the bin Laden imagery secret. Mr. Fitton said, quote, we shouldn't throw out our transparency laws. Yeah, like they were all used during the 10 years or 8 years of the Bush crime family. Right, Mr. Fitton? When did you sue the Bush administration? But I digress. He says, quote, we shouldn't throw out our transparency laws because complying with them might offend terrorists, end quote. I love the way these right-wing groups use language. It's just, you know, Anyway, he went on. He said, quote, the historical record of Osama bin Laden's death should be released to the American people as the law requires, end quote. Okay, sure. Now, the Associated Press has filed Freedom of Information Act, Try English, Mike. Oh, okay. The Associated Press has filed Freedom of Information Act requests to review a range of materials, such as contingency plans for bin Laden's capture. Oh, come on, Associated Press. This was a hit squad that went in. This was not an extraction operation. This was a kill operation. Come on. Oh, for Christ's sake. The AP also wants reports on the performance of equipment during the May Day assault on his compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. And they also want copies of DNA tests confirming the Al-Qaeda leader's identity. The Associated Press. The AP has also asked for video and photographs taken from the missing or from the mission, including photos made of bin Laden after he was killed. Ta-da, ta-da. Well, you know, people want to know, man. I mean, you know, we spent 8 years, 10 years, 9 years. What the hell's it been? Decimating a country we have no business in. We finally got the perp, so to speak. We're still there. But the Obama administration, like the Bush administration, and if you're a liberal, and if you think you're liberal, and you support Obama, you know, I really don't care anymore. So spare me the emails that call me a traitor, okay? If you can support this stuff and call yourself a liberal or a progressive, how in the hell do you sleep at night? I mean, really. But I digress again. The Obama administration refused the Associated Press request to quickly consider those requests. The AP appealed the decision, arguing that unnecessary bureaucratic delays harm the public interest and allow anonymous U.S. officials to selectively leak details of the mission. Well, my goodness, this is just turning into a real brouhaha, isn't it? More when we come back.
deadly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Okay, you still with me? All right. The Associated Press and Judicial Watch, they want to see some of the documentation of the hit squad that was sent in to murder Osama bin Laden. And yeah, I'll call it murder. You can call it assassination. You can call it anything you want. But, you know, the murder is a legal term. And to go shoot somebody without judicial proceedings, to me, I'm not a lawyer. No point in getting technical. I think we all agree that murder is a legal term. And Osama bin Laden was murdered. All right. Now, if it was justifiable homicide, that's not for me to say. That's not for you to say. Who knows? But the hit team that went in to kill him succeeded. And now there are a couple of agencies, AP and Judicial Watch, who would like to see the results of that killing. Because there's plenty of results. The CIA, or the Justice Department attorney, said the CIA has located 52, holy Toledo, photographs and video recordings. Wow, a lot of info. Anyway, the Associated Press submitted its request to the Pentagon less than one day after bin Laden's death. So far, nothing. Now, in a declaration included in the documents, John Bennett, who's the director of the CIA's National Clandestine Service, said many of the photos and video recordings are, quote, quite graphic, as they depict the fatal bullet wound to bin Laden and other similarly gruesome images of his corpse, end quote. Oh, please. Oh, for Christ's sake. And for that reason, Mr. John Bennett? Well, I mean, we're the American public. We have seen children in Iraq with their limbs blown off. We have seen people decapitated. We have seen Americans and foreign nationals with their guts on the ground. Stop it with this. Oh, well, you know, it's pretty graphic. Really? Now, as you know, from all the reports that came out, images were taken of bin Laden's body at the compound where he was killed. And during his burial at sea from the USS Carl Vinson, that's according to John Bennett, the director of the CIA's National Clandestine Service. Now, then there's this. Bennett also wrote in response to a lawsuit, quote, the public release of the responsive records would provide terrorist groups and other entities hostile to the United States with information to create propaganda, which in turn could be used to recruit, raise funds, inflame tensions, or ally support or rally support for causes in action reasonably could be expected to result in exceptionally grave damage to both the national defense and foreign relations of the United States, end quote. Again, who are you kidding, Mr. Bennett? Who do you think you're talking to? Every single American understands the damage that was done by the Bush crime family and that is continuing to be done by the Obama operation, where it concerns all this gibberish you just said, providing terrorist groups with information to create propaganda. Are you kidding me? Just show them the corpses lined up outside a village in Pakistan or Afghanistan, the corpses of children. That'll work a lot better, sir, than pictures of Osama bin Laden's corpse, you moron. Of course, I like this. Navy Admiral William McRaven, the top officer at U.S. Special Operations Command, said in a separate declaration that releasing the imagery could put the special operations team that carried out the assault on bin Laden's compound at risk by making them, quote, more readily identifiable in the future, end quote. But Admiral McRaven, most of those Navy SEALs are dead! 32 people were dropped by a missile! They were in a helicopter. A And a whole lot of those 32 were Navy SEALs, and a bunch of them were the people that conducted the hit on Bin Laden. God damn it, who do you think you're talking to? Oh, that's right, never mind. That wasn't designed for me, or for the people listening to this program, was it, Admiral? More readily identifiable in the future. Oh, and by the way, McRaven, who made that statement before his current assignment, he led the Joint Special Operations Command, the organization in charge of the military specialized counterterrorism units. Those are hit teams. Those are murder squads. So, no photos released because, well, you know, those Navy SEALs could be identified for retaliatory action. How is that, Admiral McRaven? Their bodies dug up?
Everywhere. I do not like them on my station. I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. Now, I got an email here from, I'll just leave that part anonymous. So somebody who knows about this combat SEAL Team 6 stuff. And he writes, it is against SEAL standard operating procedure to put 32 troops on one helicopter, A, B. And it is against standard operating procedure to fly SEALs in a National Guard helicopter to begin with. The witnesses were eliminated. Ooh. Uh-oh. Oh, no. No, 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 no. That absolutely could not be. These were American heroes. These were people who took a mission to go eliminate a terrorist and did so. Why, according to the reports, why would they be blown out of the sky? Why would they be eliminated? The implication being that they were killed by our own, chain of command. Well, you know, there ain't very many people who aren't ultimately disposable and cannot be replaced. And when you have secrets and you're in a war zone, the first casualty of an area like that, of course, is truth. And anything that occurs there is just simply that something that occurs there. Truth and falsehood, those are relative terms. They don't mean anything. They mean nothing. What's truth? What's truth when you are in a combat zone? What is truth when you are involved in organized killing? What is truth? What is rational? Take it one more step. What's real? It's all relative. Reality? It's what it is at any given moment. Can someone outside that zone interpret that reality? Of course not. It's ridiculous. So based on that, the Justice Department has every right to say to the Associated Press and to Larry Clare, to Judicial Watch, nah, we're not going to release them because, the reality is what we say it is, and what we say it is what we said it is. So deal with that. Associated Press, Judicial Watch, interpreting or trying to define reality in a situation where murder is being committed, several of them, perhaps. The target, and then the people who targeted the target. And if you want to know why, then I'll tell you how to know why. Here's what you have to do. Now, you have to be young enough to do this. Go join the military. And once you complete your basic training, apply for the Rangers or the SEAL teams or just whatever. And once you complete that, apply for special ops. And once you get involved with that, go on a couple of missions. And then you can sit down with the AP and with Larry Klayman and explain to them what I just explained to you. Not that I'm a genius. I'm nobody. I'm a 25-cent talk show host. But let's be real. What is truth in an operation like that? Anything that the leadership wants it to be. Anything. Anything. And if it doesn't compute for my little head or your little head or Judicial Watch's little machinery or the Associated Press's inquisitiveness, tough. Tough. But what a coincidence. What a massive, mind-boggling, earth-shaking coincidence that shortly after SEAL Team 6 completed their hit, they were hit. Nothing at all to see here. Move along. Does all that bother you? I mean, seriously, does it bother you? Don't let it. Because there is nothing under the current system you can do about it. If you want to do something about it, roll up your sleeves, get ready, because you have several decades of very difficult, grungy work to do. Right? Yeah? Now, I've got another weird one for you here. You know about the XL, Keystone XL pipeline, and it's a $7 billion oil pipeline that's going to snake from Canada through the midsection of the U.S. And a round of public hearings by the State Department is being held along the pipeline's proposed route. And according to the Times, from a community college gymnasium in Glendive, Montana, in rural eastern Montana, through Nebraska and Oklahoma to the Texas Gulf Coast. Now, these hearings are supposed to answer a single question. Is this pipeline in the national interest, the U.S. national interest? Is it or is it not? Now, according to reports, hundreds of people have come to these meetings. One on last Thursday night in remote Atkinson, Nebraska. Or no, that's coming up tomorrow night in Atkinson, Nebraska. It's expected to double the town's population of about 1,200. Now, the State Department concluded last month that the project, Keystone XL, would cause minimal environmental impact if it is operated according to regulations. And the proposed operator of all this, a company called TransCanada, has said the nearly 2,000-mile line would create 20,000 jobs in the United States. Yay! Woohoo! Now, the public hearings, according to the Times and according to other published reports, and according to what I said on this program, based on what I read last week or the week before when we were talking about the protests where 1,200 people were jailed or arrested, I should say, in front of the White House, according to those reports, the hearings are being conducted by the U.S. State Department. As if they give a goddamn what people think along the route. Come on, the EPA has already said, hey, no problem, no problem. And of course, when they pitch it on the jobs basis, well, we need jobs, right? It's that simple. We need jobs. So the State Department is conducting these hearings. Maybe not. But Mike, that's what we're told. The State Department, I mean, it's all over the place. It's in the New York Times. It's in the Washington Post. It's on CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, all over the place. The State Department is conducting these hearings. Okay. So why are you screaming? I'm talking to myself here. Because that's not necessarily the situation. What, that the State Department is not conducting hearings? Exactly. Well, then who is? Sesame Street? No, that was last night. Who is conducting the hearings? Well, let's turn to thinkprogress.org. In a stunning conflict of interest, public hearings on federal approval for a proposed tar sands pipeline are being run by a contractor for the pipeline company itself. The U.S. Department of State's public hearings along the proposed route of the Trans-Canada Keystone XL tar sands pipeline are under the purview of Cardno, C-A-R-D-N-O, Entrix, E-N-T-R-I-X, quote, a professional environmental consulting company that specializes in, quote, permitting and compliance. Cardno is not only running the, you know, State Department hearings, but also manages the department's Keystone XL website and drafted the State Department's environmental impact statement. No, I thought it was EPA. Comments from the public about the pipeline do not go to the government of the United States, but to a Cardno.com email. Cardno Entrix was contracted by TransCanada Keystone XL LP to do the work for the Department of State. No! This can't be true! Keystone XL contracted with Cardno Entrix as the third-party contractor to assist the Department of State in preparing the environmental impact statement and to conduct the consultation process. Well, but that doesn't seem fair!
Angry, let Mike do it for you. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. So that, you know, that's a little maddening, isn't it? That the so-called State Department hearings on whether or not the United States really needs this pipeline. Hearings being conducted with, you know, the proles out in middle America and little small towns and church basements and, you know, places like that. Those hearings are not being conducted in the manner that I think most people would say, oh, okay, yeah, the State Department is doing it. Michael in Roswell writes, this business of using third-party companies to manage hearings and manage public interest law requirements is very, very common these days. Typically, in this case, a representative from state or the EPA would open the hearing, make sure there's compliance with public hearing rules, and then turn it all over to the third party. I've seen it happen over and over again with projects that the feds want. It just doesn't seem fair, does it? And according to Think Progress, throughout the history of the Department of State review of the Keystone Pipeline, the work has been conducted not by civil servants, but by representatives of the pipeline company. During the Bush administration, the Department of State appointed TransCanada, quote, and its subcontractors to act as its designated non-federal representatives, end quote, to assess the potential impact of the Keystone Pipeline on endangered species. Really? turned it over to a company that just in the extraction process of the tar sands excavations is going to, or companies plural, are going to release how much more carbon into the atmosphere than normal, quote, quote, oil extraction? So give them, sure, let them decide. Any endangered species here? No! Is it going to put the aquifer in danger? No! Is anything going to be harmed? No! Do you want a little time to think about that? No! Did you do the due diligence? Yes! So it's okay to do this? Yes! Oh. Okay. Cardno Entrix Contractors, the ones working for XL, TransCanada, Keystone, LP, whatever the hell it is, are running the public hearings from Port Arthur, Texas to Glendive, Montana. And as Think Progress reports, it is not clear from media reports whether the State Department, quote, representatives, end quote, at the hearing were in fact Entrix employees. Think Progress Green is awaiting information from the State Department. I hope nobody over there is, you know, like holding their breath. Jane Klebe, the Nebraska activist leading the fight to protect her state from the risks of the Keystone XL project, said, quote, all of this adds up to the old saying, the fox is guarding the hen house, end quote. Do-do, do-do, do-do. And an update here from Think Progress. The American Petroleum Institute also worked on the environmental impact statements while lobbying on behalf of the pipeline. Open Secrets reports it this way, quote, some groups, such as the American Petroleum Institute, do more than just contribute to campaigns and lobby lawmakers. John Karikas, the group's regional manager in the Midwest, told Open Secrets blog, Karikas told Open Secrets blog, quote, everybody chooses their own advocacy strategy. We've been engaged from the beginning. We worked on the draft and supplemental and final environmental impact statement, end quote. Karikas said that the American Petroleum Institute will continue its active participation. He also brought up yet another source of groups the groups can use to influence policy outside spending. He said, quote, we've been running oil sands advocacy ads as part of our efforts over the past year. I can't imagine we'll stop that anytime soon. Boy, somebody better tell this guy who is with the American Petroleum Institute to put a cork in it, huh? He just stand there, or maybe he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. Why should he have to be discreet? He can just stand there and tell OpenSecrets.org, yeah, it's us. What's your little internet website going to do about it? Har, 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 har. I don't know. I don't know. Jobs. It's It's all about jobs. That's all it is. That's the only reason we're doing this, folks. We here in the Obama administration and TransCanada and Keystone XL and the oil industry and the American Petroleum Institute, we're just trying to, you know, bring some good old-fashioned jobs back to America. We need stuff dug and we need stuff put together and all sorts of things. So that's all we're doing. We're just trying to bring you some jobs. We'll be right back.
Guys,
notice. The hour. It's the Malloy Show. This hour is sponsored by Michael Miller. His message, Mike, this is for Chris Miller, who succumbed to an overdose of prescription drugs, our country's best kept tragedies. Happy birthday, Chris. Keep up the good fight, Mike. It's from Michael Miller. Thank you, Michael. And I'm sorry for the death of your family member, obviously. Michael Miller is our sponsor this hour. Now, I've gotten a couple of emails, as you can well imagine, about SEAL Team 6 operation. And it all stems, talking about this stems from the fact that Judicial Watch and the Associated Press have asked the Justice Department to release certain photographs and documentation and videos and DNA reports and death certificates and so on and so forth. Not death certificates, but, you know, the stuff pertinent to an operation funded and paid for by the United States taxpayer. And, excuse me, and, of course, the Justice Department has said, more or less, no, none of your business. This is a private. This is secret. It is an easy step from that to wondering about the 32 people killed in the helicopter crash. And of the number on that helicopter, I think 20 or 25. I don't think all 32. I think there were six or seven Afghan soldiers on that flight. But how many of those SEAL team members were part of the hit squad? Now, the conventional wisdom is none. The conventional wisdom also says those were men who were unlucky enough to take a hit by what was it, an RPG, or was it a surface-to-air missile? But it brought down the helicopter and they all died. And, of course, you are left, I guess, I am left. Let me change the pronoun. I am left with this. Since we, the American people, have no idea who was or was not involved from the SEAL organization in the killing of Osama bin Laden. And since that information is not available to anybody outside the government or the highest levels of the military or the people involved with the SEAL organization who know who was involved and who know who died in the helicopter crash, how are we to conclude one way or the other So the reports that no members of the Bin Laden hit squad were on that helicopter leave as many questions to be answered as someone declaring that all the members of the hit squad were on that helicopter. And to claim, as the Justice Department and the CIA and the military is now claiming, that identifying anybody or anything about this operation would put Americans at risk is laughable, except for the fact that it's not. I mean, after a decade of war, and it's perceived as a war against Muslims, after a decade of invading other countries, and it's perceived as an invasion of countries populated by Muslims, after all of that, how could people who would want to do harm to Americans or American property be even more motivated to do that with the death of Osama bin Laden? Call me crazy, but I don't think they could. I mean, when your husbands and wives and children and aunties and grandmas and tribal leaders and on and on and on have been blown to pieces into bone chunks and meat and red mist. I mean, are you going to get more angry if Osama bin Laden, a Saudi who happens to live in Pakistan, is murdered allegedly by U.S. hit team? Are you going to be more angry than you were, more enraged than you were when your child was blown to pieces? Oh, please. But you see, this is how everything is sold now. Well, it's a matter of national security. Well, I can't tell you. Well, it put people in jeopardy. Well, no, we got to stop Julian Assange. Got to stop WikiLeaks because, you know, they're naming names. They're naming this. They're naming that. Got to stop it. Not allowed to have this information. Who do you think you are? Okay. It's 12 past the hour. The phone lines are open if you want to call in. 877-996-2556. Rob is in San Jose, California. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Mike. Yes, I just want to say that I disagree with your assumption that the American people need to know all of this information. And let me just state it by saying there are certain aspects of your life that you don't give out, like, for instance, your Social Security number.
Oh, but wait a second. I don't hire people to go out on hit squads and kill people. I don't invade countries. I don't fund invasions. I do fund invasions, and by God, I have a right to know. Are you kidding me, Rob? What do you mean I don't have a right to know? Where do you want to live? Do you want to live in a Stalinist society where the people are just told, keep your fingers in your ears and your mouth shut and your eyes closed, we'll do the dirty work?
Mike, you can know if you decide to get a job in that field and get the proper clearances.
No. At the very best, Rob, that's a specious argument. I don't know who you are. I don't know why you called. But what you are saying is you are content and you expect me to be content and the American public to be content to shut up no matter how much murder, mayhem, destruction is caused in my name or our name. And when you say the American people don't need to know the details, are you kidding me? Are you a Stalinist? Where are you from? Are you some kind of a totalitarian who believes in deep, dark secrecy, that anything can be done in my name and your name at the will of the leadership? Are you kidding me?
There are things that the government does that the general public doesn't need to know about.
Okay, listen, Rob, I've been more than polite and listening to you, but that's enough. I can't take it, pal. You're part of the problem, not part of the solution. If you want, you know, you say, I should go. If I want to know the secrets, I should go join up, or other people should. I'll tell you what, if you want to live in that kind of a society, why don't you go where it exists? No, yet, better yet, stay right where you are, because we are coming to that point. No, let me rephrase it. You're where you should be, Rob. We are at that point now. We don't torture, we waterboard. We don't invade, we liberate. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sorry, man. I don't know why you're listening to my program online. It does not compute for you, I don't think. But to say that people shouldn't know when murder is being committed, when action is being taken that puts my life in jeopardy, are you serious? If I decide I want to go to, in my wildest fantasies, Venice! And because I'm an American, and because of what my government has done, and I don't know what they've done, because I'm not supposed to know, and somebody sidles up to me who happens to have a relative back someplace or somewhere or somehow, or a political connection, and they stick a knife in my heart, and I'm supposed to die peacefully so that you can have your goddamn secrecy? Are you crazy? Sorry, Rob. Do me a favor, call some other program with that. I cannot deal with that. I cannot deal with that kind of attitude. Like I said, pal, I don't know who you are, I don't know what you do, I don't know why you called this program, but from talking or listening to you for about 30 seconds, I realize you're part of the problem, not the solution. We'll be right back.
Entering a flying monkey free zone. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Yeah, I know the standard response to my going bananas with the guy that called in from San Diego. But, calm down, Mike. Try to convince him. Are you kidding me? I figure this, if he is old enough to dial a phone and old enough to turn on his computer, then he is, certainly should be old enough, I know I am, to understand that government secrecy is, the path that leads directly to, totalitarianism. And I don't care if it's Nazism, communism, it doesn't make any difference. That's the direction. And I can't for the life of me understand people who say, and I know it's a popular meme amongst right-wingers that, you know, there's certain things we don't need to know. Let's just go about the business of yada, 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 and we don't need to know that. We don't need to know what our government is doing. And then it becomes very easy to divorce yourself from the government. Well, that's not me. And, you know, I guess I should be like Tom Hartman and just calm down and take a few minutes to explain to people like that. Well, look, have you ever heard of government by and for the people? Government of the people. So when we talk about keeping secrets, especially secrets that involve invasion and occupation and death and destruction and blowing people to pieces and clandestine hit squads and murder and mayhem, we're keeping secrets from ourselves. Well, isn't that schizophrenic? I mean, isn't that a clear definition of mental illness? Well, I'm not going to tell myself about that. I'm just not going to do it because that might drive myself crazy. And I don't want, I might piss myself off at myself. I don't want myself to know what myself is doing. Okay, maybe that works for some people. But the people it works for, I think, were the 200 million people who lived in Stalinist Soviet Union. I mean, wasn't that the whole thing? about the Russian people. Isn't that why the Russian people have just about tanked, except for a few scientists and engineers who somehow managed to keep their intellectual life alive or their curiosity pumping? Wasn't it that whole thing? Isn't that what it was in the novel 1984? You don't need to know. You only need to know what we tell you. And don't question it. You don't need to know. Isn't that what the Soviet Union was all about? And isn't that what the novel 1984 was all about? And yet I still get people who call this program. Very, very seldom, because most of the people like that, don't listen. I mean, they don't dare listen to this program, because it will make them very, very upset. Very, very upset. But I cannot understand that. And since I can't understand it, and I'm not a patient man like Tom Hartman is, I can't do it. I can't sit there and dangle a right winger or somebody believes that kind of stuff, and play games with them and bat them around like a cat playing with a piece of catnip. I just can't do it. I know Hartman can, and I respect him for it, and I think it makes for good talk radio when you can do that. I can't do it. So to the people who might want to send me an email and say, well, Mike, come on, you shouldn't, come on, goddamn, take a minute and explain to the guy. No, thank you. I'm not his mama. I'm not his preacher. I'm not his company commander. I'm not his boss. I don't know him. Don't have anything to do with him. I'm not his school teacher. It's not my obligation to explain to somebody that the only way people can govern themselves is if it is done openly and honestly. That once you start with the secrets, once you convince the population that there are certain things going on they don't need to know about, woohoo! Off we go. Down the totalitarian road. I don't know why people don't get that. But I'm pretty much at the point where I think, truly, that the majority of Americans don't get that. 51% plus don't get that. And in a very kind of twisted way, I can understand why they don't get it, because they don't want to understand the truth, because the truth is too goddamn scary, especially the truths that are floating around about the direction this country has been going in and continues to go in right now. It is scary. I admit that. But you don't find very many callers who will call up and say, I'm scared out of my wits. I'm afraid I'm going to crap in my pants as I'm driving down the road. I'm so scared. So I don't want to know this stuff. No, they don't do that. They don't tell the truth. They call up and say, you don't need to know everything, Mike. There's certain things you just don't need to know. The hell I don't. And you too, pal. San Diego caller, you should maybe try on the other hat, that you need to know everything. We'll be right back. Let's really show it, darling. Let's give them something to talk about. Something to talk about. World in a mystery to figure out. Something to talk about. Let's give them something to talk about. How about love?
It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Michael Miller. And the message from Michael, this is for Chris Miller, who succumbed to an overdose of prescription drugs. Happy birthday, Chris. Keep up the good fight, Mike. Thank you, Michael. From Reg, I don't know how old that caller was, the one from San Diego, but if he's in his 20s, he grew up in a nation that convinced so many Americans that they should never question the actions of their government if that action involves military action. The government can invade, torture, rendition prisoners, assassinate, use illegal weapons, no matter what, because that's how they keep the people safe. That's how they can get the bad guys. It's a decade of brainwashing and fear-mongering. It's all about anything and everything in the name of national security. They just don't understand. That's why we're in a downward spiral that has no way to go but further down. From Prairie 2, the truth has to be a hoax. The stock markets are down again today, as were commodities, especially oil, and this is widely attributed to a lack of confidence in the economic outlook. Well, duh. The economy is circling the drain, and the Republicans and their billionaire masters just keep tripping the flush handle. The big, really big thing to fear is an economic downturn is deflation. This has been a problem ever since humans started using money. The thing that defines bankers throughout history has been their ability to use the twin phenomena of inflation and deflation to separate people from their money. The founding fathers warned against bankers and gave the power exclusively to Congress to establish the value of money. We all know how that's turned out. Most of us think of inflation in terms of the Consumer Price Index, but that's really just a survey, and it's been heavily manipulated over recent years to eat away at the standard of living. For example, every time computers or cell phones have improved, this improvement has been counted as a price reduction. There is a more relevant measure of inflation that is used by investors. It's not perfect, but it measures the expected rate of inflation over the next 30 years by the difference between Treasury inflation protected securities, those are TIPS, and the regular cash government bonds. It's dropped as low as 1.85% in the past week, down from 2.73% last month. The idea behind this measure is that investors know what the money supply is really doing as they cast about for some place to put their trillions. The big boys, in fact, employ a lot of really smart people to figure out what is going on, but they never, ever, ever tell you what they know. They tell you what they want you to know. Weren't we just talking about this? This inflation number revealed as truth by the movement of billions of dollars is way below what the Federal Reserve wants to see for inflation. This means that you can expect more cash hoarding. Corporations are already sitting on $2 to $3 trillion, and the rich still more piles of cash. This means no investment and no spending, which ultimately drives the deflation cycle. Think of 1929 times 1,000. It doesn't really matter if the bond traders are right or wrong, because they represent such a huge, overwhelming force that the economy will conform to their opinion. Up will be down, black will be white. This is what happens when you let the so-called invisible hand of the market control things instead of having national policies for manufacturing, trade, banking, energy. Well, you know, all those things Republicans don't want regulated because it lets them steal from you. The predators rarely tell the truth in public, but the rare exception was a previously unknown trader named Alessio Rastani. He appeared on the BBC and he said, quote, "Governments don't rule the world. Goldman Sachs rules the world," end quote. He also elaborated on what a money-making opportunity the Great Depression was and how he has been dreaming for 3 years about the coming collapse of the euro and the markets. The video of what he had to say is available at prairienumeral2.com. And let me digress from what Prairie 2 wrote. I suggest you look at this. I saw it this morning, and it's astonishing. This guy is a former Goldman Sachs employee. Back to Prairie 2. The interviewer was rather shocked, who talked to the guy that talked with Mr. Rastani. And the interviewer said that, quote, "jaws were dropping in the studio," end quote. When it was pointed out that his candor didn't really provide any help for the rest of us, he responded by saying that anyone could do what he is going to prepare by moving into the U.S. dollar, U.S. Treasury bonds, putting money into hedge funds and such. The reporter didn't point out that all this money he was going to make would come from other people's pockets, and it certainly wouldn't occur to this trader that this might be wrong. The entire financial services industry revolves around picking other people's pockets, but they constantly pretend that they are creating wealth. In reality, they've never created a dime and never will. The response from the right was that this was a hoax from the group of the yes men who regularly protest greedy bankers and corporations. Subsequent investigations by other reporters as well as the BBC claim that this guy is real. Certainly, everything he said was true, but this is a truth never spoken. The official truth is spoken instead, which is Wall Street makes money. The invisible hand of the economy knows best. We have a flat earth economy. Black is white. Down is up. Conservatives are patriotic. And above all, they are your friends. You can trust them. PrairieNumeral2.com. And go look at that video. It is scary stuff. Sanchez is in East L.A. Hello, Sanchez.
That Goldman Sachs employee, that was like his Dick Cheney moment. Remember when Dick Cheney admitted that we were torturing people?
Yeah.
Remember how matter-of-factly it was?
Oh, sure.
Of course. That's the same thing. They're just admitting it. And I wish... In cases like this, when you're talking to these people, I wish simply that you would have that Jack Nicholson clip where he's going, you can handle the truth. I mean, it would simply, you know, solve the effort.
Yeah, it sure would.
Yeah. So anyway, from the depths of the ghetto, I wish you the best of good evening, senor.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm kind of bummed out because I was calling for a particular reason, but tonight KTLK is running donkey basketball, so the people that I really wanted to talk to are listening to something else.
Yeah, well.
It's about Occupation Wall Street, and it's about the official kickoff of Occupy Los Angeles. It starts at 12 noon at City Hall, downtown Los Angeles. You know, you've seen the City Hall.
Right.
Okay, so this Saturday, Occupy Los Angeles goes into full effect. It's actually been around for at least a week. I went to their first meeting. They did some demonstrations on top of one of the bridges off the Hollywood Freeway, the 101 Freeway, right by downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that thing on YouTube. And you got all kinds of cars, horns, honking in agreement. And it's the word is spreading rapidly. They did a protest when Obama was here earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already gained movement. They've already gained strength. So I just want to tell people, if you don't mind, I'm going to post this on your Mike Malloy Facebook page, if that's cool with you.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So I'll post some information about that. But also, I wanted to tell you about, because I've been monitoring the Occupy Wall Street live stream, and there's one thing in particular that they need some help with. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's hell when you're like wearing the same pairs of socks day after day after day, getting into the cold, the moisture, the you know, everything. And so they need socks. They need warm, clean socks. And they're saying on their live stream that they're going to be coming into like wet and cold weather again.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for like ponchos and things like this. So I'm going to post an address on your Mike Malloy page again. But do you mind if I read it off real quick?
No, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Occupy Wall Street. This is for sending them merchandise, warm socks, thermal underwear, ponchos, things like that, okay? Mm-hmm. Occupy Wall Street, care of UPS Store, 118A Fulton Street. This is number 205, New York, and the zip code is 10038. Again, I'll post this information on your Mike Malloy Facebook page.
That'll be great. Give it one more time because very few people listen to the program with a writing instrument.
Okay.
And you got about a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. Occupy Wall Street. UPS Store 118A Fulton Street, number 205, New York, New York, 10038. Fox, thermal underwear, ponchos, rain gear. They're going into the winter months here. Show them your support. They're looking for socks, men's socks, women's socks. I would even think that they'd accept underwear. And they're so grateful for everything, foods and things like that. By the way, if you want to send them some, like, fresh foods or things like that, anybody can order from, like, the vegetarian restaurants. Anywhere in the area, you can send it to the corner of Broadway and Liberty Street, and everybody will know where to go. It's like that everybody's getting hooked into this. So Los Angeles has a movement. San Francisco, I noticed Oklahoma City. Chicago, shout out to Chicago because they're going strong there. So we kick off on Saturday, and thanks for your support, man. That's all
right, listen, Sanchez, keep us posted. And get that up on my Facebook page. That'll be great. I got to leave it there, pal. We'll be right back.
Listening to Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Michael Miller and his message. This is for Chris Miller, who succumbed to an overdose of prescription drugs. Happy birthday, Chris. Keep up the good fight, Mike. And Michael, thank you. I appreciate the sponsorship. One more email from he who, for the time being, will not be identified, because I just don't want to do it. But he writes, I had to step out for a bit, so I missed whoever might have come along to piss all over the conversation about the SEALs. But I gather some think I or we are full of blank. No, don't think so. SEALs are not that big a unit, and Team 6 is even smaller. It's also not prone to rumors. The SEALs themselves are very upset by this. Just look into how many of the people who were with Jessica Lynch, people who could blow the story, are not around. And then, of course, there's Pat Tillman. I hear you. Bob is in Queens, New York. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Mike. I love your show, and I love what you're talking about. And before you use the word hoax, well, as far as I'm concerned, the Bin Laden situation was a hoax. And I truly feel that Team 6 was intentionally silenced. We were warned a long time ago from President Eisenhower about the industrial-military complex.
Mm-hmm.
And these, my feeling is, these are the people that are running the show. And there's, like, no way to stop them. And it's like, what can we possibly do?
Well, you're right. I don't think there's any doubt this democracy or this democratic republic has been turned into a national security state. And Eisenhower was right. He was prescient in his warning. And for somebody who was the supreme Allied commander of World War II, and or at least of the invasion of Normandy, and who was a 5-star general, he certainly should have been listened to. But he said that back in the 50s. And, you know, America was on its go-go, let's kick ass, we defeated the Nazis, we defeated fascism, let's take over the world, and nobody paid any attention. But, you're absolutely right.
And one last thing, Mike, before I go.
Uh-huh.
Ever since 9/11/2001, anytime there's a public speaking about it or anything that's to deal with it, the media, whatever the case may be, as soon as someone raises a question,
mm-hmm.
they either are verbally abused or physically removed.
Sure.
And it's always been that way since 9/11. And that's a shame, because if you ask a question, you're taken out and you're removed. And it's not right. This is America. We're supposed to be able to ask a question and get an answer, and we don't.
Well, not anymore.
That's another thing.
Yeah, exactly. It was probably that way at some time, Bob, but not now. Bob, we got to leave it there. Thank you, sir. Call us again. Thanks for checking in. Steve writes in, Mike, there's another place to order stuff for the protesters in Wall Street. It's a great company called Fresh Direct. Their website is freshdirect.com. The prices are really good. You can buy organic and locally grown fruit and locally made other products that are made in and around New York. Steve, P.S. I'm not trying to promote anything, but it's a really great place for getting fresh food to the people who are on Wall Street. All right, check it out, Truth Seekers. Freshdirect.com. Freshdirect.com. And check out what Sanchez is posting at our Facebook page, all right? Anita is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hello, Anita.
Have you heard anything since they supposedly killed Bin Laden about his kidney, that if he was sick with his kidney disease, wouldn't there, I don't know.
Well, I had heard that going back over a decade. I mean, that was the whole thing. He was supposed to have been somebody who was
sickly and stuff. Right?
Very sick and had to get dialysis. And I think I read something years ago that he had gotten one dialysis treatment at least, or a series of them, I should say, in the United States and then in Saudi Arabia and maybe Europe or perhaps some country in Africa. So, you know, who knows? He was like, I'm sure you read 1984. He was like Goldstein in 1984. He's here. He's there. He's not there. He's the cause of all the problems. He's over there. He's the reason that we have to lock down the United States. He's the reason why you have to have your shoes checked when you go to board an airplane. Yada, 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 yada. So who knows, Anita?
My pet goat, the book that Bruce was reading to the children, The Scapegoat. My pet scapegoat.
My pet scapegoat.
Okay, bye.
Thanks a lot, Anita. Appreciate your call. All right, we're not going to take any more calls because we only have a minute this hour. From the CBC in Canada, researchers say ice shelves in the Canadian Arctic are breaking up and changing at an unexpectedly fast rate. Malachi sent this to me. They say the region lost almost half its ice shelf extent in the last 6 years. The summer alone saw the Sursen ice shelf almost completely disappear and the Ward Hunt shelf split in half. The ice loss equals about 3 billion tons, or about 500 times the mass of the Great Pyramid of Giza. Derek Mueller from Carleton University's Department of Geography and Environmental Studies says, quote, "This is our coastline changing. These unique and massive geographical features that we consider to be part of the map of Canada are disappearing, and they won't come back." The researchers say the reason for the change is a combination of warmer temperatures and open water. It goes on. The ice shelves have been found to shrink almost every summer since 2005. Well, it won't be too much longer now, will it? Stick around. We'll be back momentarily. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. So, reading the Times this morning, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's just me. But I'm beginning to question the news reporting of just about every organization, news organization in the country. I shouldn't say beginning to question. I mean, come on. You know, we've all questioned, but this for a number of years. We know it's slanted. But I tended to believe to a certain degree. Don't send me emails telling me I'm not even stupid and I should know better. I tended to believe at least half of what I read in the Times as being factual reporting. I'm not talking about editorial page stuff. I'm not talking about opinion page or op-ed. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not talking about Janet, what was her name, who wrote all the phony stories about the build-up to the Iraq War or was involved in whatever. I understand. I get it about modern journalism. At least I think I do. But still, I still find stuff in the Times that I think is well-written in the news section. News, news, news. Well-written. Balanced, sometimes to a fault, which I don't like. Well-reported. But not this morning. Not this morning. Big news article, above the fold in the Times, lengthy article about how protests, political protests, social protests are surging around the globe. Now, the reason, it caught my eye first, like, oh, okay, this is going to focus on the interconnectedness between what's going on with Occupy Wall Street .org and global demonstrations by disaffected citizens of various countries. Okay, all right, here we go. I read the article, and I have to tell you that there is exactly 5 words in an article that runs about 1,000 words. Is that right? About 700 words. Maybe 800 word article. 5 words. And the 5 words are now even to Wall Street. Those are the only 5 words in this lengthy article about global protests surging. 5 words. The article is about the hundreds of thousands of disillusioned people around the globe. It starts out with people in India cheering the guy that went on the hunger strike. Remember? For what, 9 days, 10 days? Israel doesn't know what to do when the largest street demonstrations in its history occur, as they did a month or so ago. Spain, Greece, enraged young people take over public squares throughout these countries because, well, you know why. It's not just here. People have had enough of neoliberal capitalist ideas that are poisoning and destroying and wrecking and ruining everything. That's B. A is this elite class that has now become global. There are billionaires in just about any country you look at. And every one of the sons of bitches got there, for the most part, through fraud, deception, lies, cheating, stealing, law-breaking, or they inherited it. And if they inherited it, then their forebears committed those crimes. It's not just here. The complaints, of course, and the Times is quick to point this out. In the beginning of the article, the complaints range from corruption to lack of affordable housing, to joblessness. And as I read through the article, I thought, well, why didn't they? There are just several quotes in here of activists in India, in Israel, in the UK, Not a single American protester. Not a single one. And this is happening in the New York Times backyard. You have to go to the Guardian of the UK in order to get in-depth coverage. As I shared with you, when was it? Night before last? In-depth coverage of what's occurring in Lower Manhattan. You have to go to the foreign press. What's up with that? Seriously, is it because there's not several hundred thousand in Lower Manhattan? Is it because there hasn't been 1,000 arrests or fires started? And as somebody pointed out, you know, let 100 teabaggers get together and go down to Wall Street, and this filthy press will be all over them like white on rice. But anyway, look, anybody who is not aware of this is asleep or in a coma. We're on the cusp of a massive reordering of priorities. It's just going to, it's starting to build. It's almost like a huge wave. Not a tsunami. I'm not going to use those analogies, but it's like a huge wave starting to build. Where people around the globe are starting to realize that neoliberalism, and if you don't know what that is, look it up. Neoliberalism, that is the foundation of predatory capitalism, is ruining everything. It's turning what should be a fun time. You know what a fun time should be? It's that brief flash of consciousness that every individual has. Even people who are born with all sorts of problems, all sorts of illnesses, all sorts of diseases they have to deal with. That brief flash of consciousness. That is right in the middle of the eternity that occurred before a person's consciousness and the eternity that comes after a person's consciousness. So you have a brief flash. What do we do? What do you do with that brief flash? Do we write music and grow beautiful plants and food and flowers and crops and make love and have beautiful children and love our mates and travel around the planet and look at other tribes, other people, other groups and say, wow, how are you? You know, I'm from over there and you're from here and gee, it's nice to meet you. It's nice to know you and sit around, look at the stars at night and, you know, all that. Do we do that? No. What do we do? What do? We kill each other. We bomb each other's countries. We invade. We cause starvation. We line up against certain groups, whether they may be identified as having a different sexual orientation or a different skin color or a different philosophical belief or a different gender, or we make people dress in burqas. We insist that if you don't believe a certain way, you're going to burn in hell. I mean, it just goes on and on. That brief flash of consciousness. How many times did the oldies in your family say to you, oh man, you better do it now because I'll tell you what, life is real fast. It's over before you know what. It's over quicker than that. We'll be right back.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. All things
truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So again, you know, I'm a New York Times subscriber. For the most part, I like the paper. I especially appreciate some of the columnists, Frank Bruni, of course, Krugman. Oh, who's the guy on the weekend, Kathy? Another brain fart. Sometimes I certainly agree with the paper's editorial stance, sometimes vehemently disagree. Like the letters to the editor section. And the various sections of the Times are great. The news section, though, it serves the interests of the establishment in this country. We all know that. I mean, come on, the New York Times is not going to lead a revolution. But when they start reporting on the beginning of a global revolution and leave out, except for five words, the revolution that is building in this country, then be blind, it pisses me off. It just, it really pisses me off. I wonder if the writer, Nicholas Kulish, who wrote this lengthy piece in this morning's Times, I wonder if his original piece contained more references to what's going on in Lower Manhattan on Wall Street than five words, and that perhaps that was edited out. Who knows? But the newspaper points out that this global movement that is developing all around the planet, northern and southern hemisphere, it's Chile, India, Japan. There's even little rustlings, although they're immediately stomped on, in China. Israel, we know about the Arab Spring. Well, what do you suppose that comes from? Europe? Here in the U.S., it's rippling a little bit in Canada. Mexico, it probably would, except for the fact that Mexico has now become completely a narco state. Completely. There is no longer any operations in Mexico that are not, from the president's office all the way down to street sweepers, that is not thoroughly either controlled or influenced or infiltrated or observed by these narcotics killers and their armies. Colombia? Central America? It's happening! And what the revolution, this revolution that is building, this global revolution, it's not a standard revolution where you have agitators who say, throw off the ruling class, so that they can then establish themselves as the new ruling class. You read about this when you read Animal Farm. You understand how this works. But that's not what this is. At all. The driving force behind this is, yes, it's income inequality, high unemployment, recession-driven cuts in social spending. So, as the Times pointed out, this alienation runs especially deep in Europe, with boycotts and strikes that in London and Athens erupted into violence. Yeah, I'll tell you what. When it's a sad reality, but it is reality. You thwart the dreams of old or older people, and they form a committee. You thwart the dreams in the future of younger people, and they burn your goddamn buildings down. So here we are. Here we are on the cusp of global rebellion. And we hope, don't we? We older people, since we understand where this can go and how demagogues can get control of this, we hope it remains peaceful. Or let me put it a different way. We hope it remains nonviolent. There is a difference. We hope that the civil disobedience that is beginning to manifest as a way of getting the attention of the power structure, that's the first step. If that doesn't work, If civil disobedience, if nonviolent protest doesn't work, see, those are the second and third steps. The first step is petition of the government for to redress grievances. That has been flushed down the toilet. That is stupid to even sit here and say. It sounds like something out of a different century. We are here to petition the government for redress of our grievances. Oh, really? Okay. Well, here, talk to my secretary. That's gone. That was gone a long time ago. That might have been gone immediately after the framers wrote it. So where are we? We're at level two, or is it just a level 1A? For the most part, nonviolent civil disobedience, resistance to a form of predatory capitalism that continues to destroy. More on this when we come back.
It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. Every time I turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy. There's hope. You let it, it'll drive you crazy. There's hope. I'm taking back my power today. There's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising. There's hope. The government, they keep on lying. We gotta keep on surviving. Keep living our truth and do the best we can do. Cause there's hope.
Cuddle up, truth seekers. Uncle Mikey has another bedtime story. Back to Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. So the global protests that the Times saw fit to cover in a in an interesting style of reporting this morning. It was more, I don't know, it didn't quite feel like reporting. It felt different from just straight-ahead reporting. But a lengthy article, 800 words, 1,000 words, and 5 words in the entire article focusing on what's happening in the United States on Wall Street. But the article talks about even in India and Israel, where protesters say they distrust their country's political class to such a degree, and is pandering to what the article calls established interest groups. Here in the United States, you know who that would be. It's the Koch brothers. It's the right-wingers who fund all this mischievous activity, this devilry, as my grandmother used to call it, this anti-American poison, anti-American in the sense of this place, the United States, supposedly being a place where ideals are inscribed in our documents. They don't mean anything anymore, do they? Of course not. If you're not a right-wing extremist Christian freak waiting for Jesus to descend from the clouds, then you're the enemy to these folks. So it's getting to the point where people around the planet, as the Times says, feel only an assault on the system itself can bring about real change. That's right. That's what we've been talking about on this program. How long has it been now? You know, capitalism, this neoliberal, neoliberalism or capitalism, call it what you want. All the terms are interchangeable. It's not working. It cannot be reformed. It has to be replaced. A form of social democracy, democratic socialism, a form of consensus governing. It has to happen, and it's going to happen. Either that or the planet is just going to end. There is no other way. What did we mention the other night? Somebody who sponsored an hour last night said, welcome to the 6 billionth resident of planet Earth and the 7 billion. Or the 7 billionth and the 8 billionth will be here within the next 25 years. in Israel. Organizers repeatedly turned out, according to the New York Times, gigantic crowds. Notice how little play that got in American media. Gigantic crowds insisting that their political leaders, regardless of party, had been so thoroughly captured by security concerns. Sound like the United States? Ultra-Orthodox groups, that means religious extremists. Yeah, there too. Huh? And other special interests that the political class could no longer respond to the country's basic needs or its middle class. Isn't that what has happened here? There is a parallel. Isn't that what has happened in Europe? And even though there is still an emerging middle class in some of the two of the biggest economic engines on earth, it's going nowhere. One Israeli, or no, this is in India. A 25-year-old there who was among the thousands who gathered in the mud to protest the ennui or the angst that was sweeping across her country. She said, corruption is ruling our country. So it's getting to the point where citizens across the globe of all ages, but particularly the young, as the Times points out, are rejecting conventional structures like political parties and trade unions in favor of a less hierarchical, more participatory system modeled in many ways on the culture of the web. Which is one of the reasons that efforts are being made to dismantle it as we know it. A two-tiered internet system. Right? Net neutrality. A director at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University said, quote, you're looking at a generation of 20 and 30-year-olds who are used to self-organizing. They believe life can be more participatory, more decentralized, less dependent on the traditional models of organization, either in the state or in the big company, i.e. the corporation. Those were the dominant ways of doing things in an industrial economy, and they aren't anymore. There is no, that's the end of the quote. And as you know, if you spend time on the net, there is no hierarchy. There are forces that try to be dominant. There are blabbermouths there, just like there are on any soapbox in Hyde Park or Bughouse Square in Chicago. But you cannot establish a hierarchy of command and control on the web. It can't be done. Yet. The 10 cities that sprang up in Israel were called a beautiful anarchy. Think of that word, that phrase, a beautiful anarchy. A beautiful anarchy. And the Times quotes a 26-year-old demonstrator in that country who said that this rebellion in Israel developed because, quote, the political system has abandoned its citizens, end quote. The political system has abandoned its citizens. Yes, it has. There, here, just about everywhere. And again, it is this incredibly unbalanced distribution of wealth. And what is wealth anyway? It's a job, it's a house, it's a means of getting health insurance or health care. It's having some kind of power to determine the outcomes in your own life. That's a form of wealth. It's accumulating enough stones or coins or land or olive trees or greenhouses so that you can go ahead and live your life independent of sitting along the side of the road and begging, maybe, or begging your government. What's the difference, right? begging by the roadside or petitioning your government for redress of grievances. What's the difference? Either way, you're going to be ignored. How many times has it happened to you? You know it. It happens a lot lately. You pull up the exit ramp off the expressway. I don't care where you live. And you're waiting for the light to let you get onto the secondary street traffic. And here comes a man or a woman with a little cardboard sign, right? I'm unemployed. Help me. And what do? You might give him or her a buck or throw a couple of coins in the box or what have you. How is that different, though, your role or the role of that person begging? How is that different from expecting the leaders, the political class in this country, to respond to our need for education, housing, jobs? Either way, it's begging, isn't it? Aren't you tired of it? I am. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of the petition drives and yes, even the demonstrations and being ignored. It's not being tired of the demonstrations of course, taking to the streets, but taking to the streets in enormous numbers that still hasn't happened here. What did I read? If a proportionate number of Americans took to the streets as what happened in Israel, we would have 30 million people in the streets. 30 million. Because the Israelis had roughly 10% of their population took to the streets. Can you imagine in this country 30 million people? Do you think that would get somebody's attention? But no, we're going to listen to just total ass wipes like Michelle Bachmann or Rick Perry or Chris Christie or, freaks like this. The media focuses in on these people instead of really helping us solve the problems. And media is never going to help us solve the problems. They won't. So, it's up to us, isn't it? Huh? Hundreds of thousands of people turned out last month in New Delhi, India, to vent what the Times calls a visceral outrage at the state of Indian politics. One banner that was carried by the protesters said, I love this, if your blood is not boiling now, then your blood is not blood, end quote. Isn't that applicable here? We'll be right back.
Living here is paradise. He taught me paradise is in your mind. You know that there's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. Every time I turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy. There's hope. If you let it, it'll drive you crazy. There's hope. I'm taking back my power today. There's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising. There's hope. The government, they keep on lying.
Before the hour. So again, I don't know what I expect from the New York Times anymore or from any news gathering organization or media outlet. I know I use the Times as a reference source for this program a lot. I've explained the reasons why. I also use sources on the internet a lot. Everything from Crooks and Liars to TVNewsLies.org to, on and on and on and on. You know the sites. But this article in this morning's Times about the global protests, young people who have had enough, who literally have had enough, and it is building because there is no solution using capitalism as a model It is capitalism, neoliberalism, that got us into this, and it's capitalism that is continuing to turn the screw. There is no way out if we're going to insist on the capitalist model. There is no way out. So there has to be a new economic slash political model. There has to be. And those models are available. It's not like somebody has to sit down, you know, some wise council of men and women sit down and come up with an entirely different system. The systems are available. It's putting them in place. And that is going to cause a tremendous amount of resistance. And you know it. I know it. We all know it. There is going to be a point at which nonviolence civil disobedience and the new way of petitioning the government for redress of grievances is not going to work. You know that. And so do I. Responding to shifts in what a population needs is supposed to be democracy's strength. Right? Isn't that, that's why we have elections periodically, or that was the reason. And no matter what democratic society you're talking about, whether it is a system like ours or a parliamentary system, system that combines a monarchy and governing ministers or what have you, anywhere that there has been the use of voting, of the people speaking, that was the strength, that as the needs of the population changed, it was democracy that was supposed to respond to that. And it no longer does. It has not for a long time. Now, regardless of the vast silence of so many people in this country, tens of millions of people in this country who keep their head down and say, well, this is the best I can have in my little flash of consciousness. They don't even realize that that's exactly what they're saying. It doesn't have to be this way. It just doesn't. The political left, the Times says the following, which I tend to agree with. The political left, which might seem the natural destination for the nascent movements now emerging around the globe, is compromised. The political left is compromised in the eyes of activists by the neoliberal centrism of people like Bill Clinton and Tony Blair. The old left remains wedded to trade unions, even as they represent a smaller and smaller share of the workforce. And more recently, center-left participation in bailouts for financial institutions alienated former supporters who say the money should have gone to people instead of banks, end quote. Well, hell yes. Hell yes squared. You know, in Japan, 6 prime ministers have stepped down in 5 years. The 2 major parties in Germany, the Christian Democrats and the Social Democrats, are seeing tremendous declines in their membership. The only party that is making gains are the Greens. And by the way, except for Greenpeace, are you aware that all environmental organizations, the established ones, are funded and controlled by big polluters? When you take a look at Sierra Club, National Resources Defense Council, Environmental Defense Fund, they're funded and controlled by the biggest polluters in the United States. And as someone sent me an email today, only Greenpeace stands between us and the destruction of the planet. Only Greenpeace. The biggest crisis right now, as the Times points out, they quote a Spanish protester, and she says the biggest crisis is a crisis of legitimacy. Government isn't doing anything for us, and government should. I mean, this idea that government is useless and terrible and bad, and so on and so forth, you know, that may be true now, but it's become almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, how do you organize yourself if not through a leadership class? Well, there may be a different way, right? And I think this is what's being explored, the idea of consensus politics. The idea of leaderless organizations. You think? As one of the Israeli protesters said, quote, the political system has abandoned its citizens. We have lost a sense of responsibility for one another. End quote. So, I just wish that the New York Times, and there's a way to accomplish, to make this wish come true, that the New York Times would focus more on the activities that are occurring in this country, not to the exclusion of what's going on around the world. So how do we get the New York Times or CNN or ABC or CBS, or does it, maybe it doesn't even matter, but how do we get them to focus and do their constitutionally protected duty, you know, to be a free press? How do we do that? What does it take? The answer to that question is what is a little scary to me. Really. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.